super tired.
Hey, welcome to Gilmail, guys.
Welcome to Email You Gilmail.
Volume 2, baby. Do you like how the very first thing we said was how tired we are? So people's expectations are ground floor low. Not the TV show ground floor, but just regular ground floor.
Although, it's supposedly TBS very funny. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, Roy Scoville's a gem.
He's great. Emily Heller, I love Roy Scoville.
Skylar Astin, great cast. This has been Ground Floor Buddies. Tune in next week. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, just for context, and why my voice might sound a little bit different right now, is I am feeling under the weather and not too great, but you know what?
Shit must go on.
It's all about the fans. We got to do it for the fans, man.
We're going to say that every mailbag episode.
That's right. It's kind of our catchphrase. It's our trademark thing. Demi is also very tired.
Yes, I am.
Not sick tired like me.
Just lazy tired.
Yeah. No. You just came from a big rousing party with Chris Hardwick, right?
Yeah. A big old party. I don't think he was there.
Well, you said company party. I figured Chris Hardwick was just like throwing money at everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, he did that pretty early in the night, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, threw hundreds and we were all like, oh, I caught my thousand.
Oh my gosh. So if you're just tuning in, which I don't know why you would be.
Yeah, what a weird time.
Yeah, this is Gilmail, guys, where we go through emails that we receive at gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com. We read all them and we try to respond personally to all of them, but also we want to read them too on the air. So we're going to do that. Also, just a little programming note. I think this is going to come at a weird time if we've scheduled it correctly. There's a good chance we haven't. Then this will come out December the 29th, which is a Monday. It'll be the Monday after Christmas. However, we may not release an episode on the 5th. We're probably definitely not going to on the 31st. It's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You guys need to get to your New Year's Eve parties. Watch them balls drop, baby. But Times Square. Anyway,
Times Square.
Demi and I are both like in this state where we're looking at each other like, can we take a nap right now?
We should just take an on-air nap and you'll hear like. No, I can do it. We can power through.
We're gonna press through. This might be a bit of a shorty.
Oh, this is gonna be an all-time low for this show.
Shorty, yeah, it's gonna be many.
Oh yeah,
like the mouse. But let's get to it. Oh, Driver, Good Will Hunting.
Right?
Great movie, right?
I've never seen.
Okay. la 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 la.
Callback.
La, la.
Anthony Trolley, 204. Learn it.
Brody, is that you?
It's me, Brody Stevens.
Yes.
I showed up for the mail episode.
Positive energy. Okay, this one comes from Kendall. We get a variation on this a lot.
Is that Kendall Morrison?
It is Kendall Morrison.
My boy. Hello.
Your bro. So, and I know you've answered this on the show before, but I just want this to be that it would be so funny if I wasn't recording right now.
It wouldn't be funny at all.
Tee-hee-ho-ho. We get this on the show a lot, I feel like, on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. So just once and for all, Kendall writes, Demi, where does Electra Lemon come from?
It's funny. In sixth grade, two of my other friends who I admired a lot had like AOL screen names that had to do with food.
Mm-hmm.
They were just completely random. And I was like, oh, I want to be part of that club. So I just thought of one. And that was it. There's literally no context for it.
Do you remember what their names were?
I do.
What are they?
One was Expired Toast and one was Turkey Sandwich.
Turkey Sandwich.
Sandwich.
Sandwich?
Sandwich. Just sandwich, like the food.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were saying widge in a different way.
No.
Do either of them have 35,000 followers on Twitter?
No.
Yeah. So, joke's on them.
Yeah, joke's on them for not using a name they thought of in sixth grade for everything. No.
Well, Vivian writes in. This actually comes in 2 hours ago because we just asked for these on Twitter. So a lot of these are coming in hot. Vivian writes, hi, guys. The podcast is perfection. Thank you.
Thank
we feel
you.
The same way.
We're flawless.
But we are flawless. Since October, I've been on a dedicated Netflix binge of Gilmore Girls, already on season 6. I've never actually seen the show, so it's basically all that's been getting me through junior year in high school. Kevin, I know you've seen the show already, so you'll probably be able to answer this, but a lot of my friends think that Jess is Rory's best boyfriend. I hate Jess. He is the worst. Ew, gross, no. How would you guys rank Rory's boyfriends?
Can I just say how crazy and cool it is that a lot of people are being turned on to the show because of us, and they are like just blazing past us because
yes.
of the speed of having to do this?
Right, which is part of our kind of initiative to put out 2 a week,
yeah.
which is tough, but worth it overall. Yeah. So how would we rate them so far, including... Well, she says including Logan.
You can do...
Alert.
No, I mean, yeah. I'm sure she's going to... If she stuck with Jess for the rest of the episode, for the rest of the show, I'd be really mad.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she'll go... Anyway, I can only rate from Jess and Dean. You can rate just Dean, Logan.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe she dates a scraggler here or there.
A stranger.
Yeah. She's just like, ooh, you're cute. Next episode,
hitchhiker,
no, you're not.
Yeah.
You murdered a man.
Whoops, a drifter.
I think Dean is the best of the two so far, but Jess also has zero dimension right now.
Right, and so it's hard to say, because me, as of recording this, me and Demi are just, we just finished 208, mm-hmm. so that's where we are. So we haven't really seen Rory and Jess get together,
right.
which, spoiler alert, do they even?
Oh, shut
Demi,
up.
Okay. The way I would rate them is Logan, number one, Dean, 2, Jess, 3, just because, Jess is probably better of an intellectual match for Rory, and understands her like cultural references and just like her life in media better.
Right.
But Dean has so much more respect for Lorelai, I feel like. And he is, even if he's a boring beige dude, he's a solid dude.
He is. He's a very solid dude, even though he sort of loses a lot of the characteristics that we see him get in season one, mm-hmm. in season two. But
in season two, they make him more beige to make Jess a little more vibrant, I believe.
Which is... not necessarily. They could have just been different people, but it was it's a very... He comes in, and the whole thing about him is that even though he is this dude, he's going to respect Rory and Lorelai.
Totally.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, because I think Demi and I both come... We're both from Texas, so we are Southern gentlemen, if you will. And for us, it's really important that you get along with the parents of whoever it is, your friend or your girlfriend or whoever. Demi is yawning so hard right now.
No, I'm not. I'm leoning.
You're what?
The way you said it, it sounded like you were saying leoning.
You're leoning.
Oh, okay.
You don't know that word?
Leon rhymes.
Okay, so Brittany writes in and says, I just looked at your Twitter and saw how many people dislike having guests that don't like the show. Just wanted to shoot you guys a quick email to let you know that I love the episodes where your guests aren't that into the show.
Thank you.
Keeps things interesting. Don't stop having them on. I love Jess, and here's what's great, and I love this about Brittany. She has self-awareness. I love Jess as much as every other misguided girl that first watched the show when they were 14. But him being a bad boy magician will always be hilarious.
I just want to see him pull flowers out, like,
out of his
hey,
butt.
Rory, hey, welcome to our fucking date. Oh, I got you something.
And like... But where'd the lighter fluid come from?
Yeah, exactly. He's just Joe.
Yeah.
I would watch an entire 4 seasons of Rory dating Job.
Oh my gosh. Fanfic writers, get on it.
Sure, I didn't get you any Valentine's Day presents, but what's better, 100 chocolates or 100 pennies?
From heaven. this one comes from Anna. Hey, Kevin and Demi, love the podcast. Add this email to the thousands of fan letters. Just wanted to add my 2 cents to the show. I love Miss Patty. Hey,
she hello,
spells
Sailor.
It with a lot of...
Hello, Sailor.
Hello, Sailor. And think she is... By the way, thank you to Add Zip-Offs for making that rad vine.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
Zip-Offs.
That was awesome.
Brady, we love you.
That being said, she reminds me of the female hedonism bot, Futurama style. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I've attached a quick doodle to show what I mean.
Oh, no, there's a doodle.
Oh, there's a doodle. I got to show it to you, bro. And we'll post this on Twitter once this comes up.
Yep, that's it.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that so good?
Spot on.
So thank you, Anna. We're going to we'll post that when this episode
What other
airs.
Futurama characters correspond to Gilmore Girls characters?
Well, obviously, Richard is the professor. Kirk is Zoidberg.
Oh, I'll never die. I'm too stubborn. Good
but,
news.
But I am already in my pajamas.
Richard is who? Or wait, who else did you say was who?
I was going to say Kirk is Zoidberg.
Mm. I can see that.
Lane is Amy. Like, that can be...
Racist. So, I'm kidding.
Dude.
I'm kidding. I'm just throwing you under the bus.
Okay, and then...
Taylor Ducey is Hermes.
Taylor what?
Ducey.
Yes, come on.
I'm never going to get into that.
I think you already have.
Yeah.
Side note, Kevin, I too was homeschooled for many years. Socially, I feel pretty normal now. And I really appreciate the sacrifice my mom made staying home with me for so long. But reentering school in high school did come with some social challenges. Some social challengers is what I almost said. This may sound totally crazy, but I had to learn how to do things like summarize the long stories of the conversations, excuse myself from a conversation normally, speak up in class. All in all, I look back at my homeschooling days with fondness, though. I just realized that had nothing to do with Gilmore Girls. She's just sharing, but that's great.
That's still a nice story.
Yeah.
We like to hear from people.
Going back to something I said, I too didn't trick or treat as a child. Parents were very conservative. We would go to Chuck E. Cheese Halloween night instead. Which sounds pretty equal.
Yeah.
Like, well, how is that less conservative?
Anyway. Oh, no, you walk around less, but you get the same amount of thrown up.
And she says, I trick-or-treated for the first and probably last time when I was 21 in college.
Trick-or-treating is very overrated.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Eliza Skinner was shocked that I did not go trick-or-treating.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was, dude, you should really listen to that one.
I literally just haven't finished it.
Okay.
I'm gonna finish it on the ride home.
Okay. Well, if you're not too busy listening to that 3-hour You Made It Weird with Dana Carvey. It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Welcome to our podcast, pals.
Podcast pals. I thought about starting a podcast about podcasts, but I think there's already three.
There's got to be 10. Yeah.
There's one that did us. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
When they did, like, the podcast showdown. It was us versus, like, Doctor Who podcast. It was really nice.
Doctor Who is for nerds.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls is for cool guys.
Cool fucking bros. Yeah. We'll kick Doctor Who in the dick. No. Yeah, no. This took a weird turn.
Anna says, oh, and one last thing. Your guest hosts are really, really ridiculously good looking. Thanks for the eye candy while we listen to the show.
Our guest hosts?
I think she just means guests.
They very much are.
I mean, between Ben Rogers and...
A lot of people in Brian particular Husky. Have been hubba-hubbing Ben Rogers, and I don't blame
to
them.
You? To
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Friends, and also just in the comments of the pictures we post.
Yeah, even...
A lot of hard-eye emojis.
Which makes Ben Rogers, and I'm so happy about this, our most polarizing guest so far. Because literally, we got so many tweets. You guys had some choice words for Mr. Rogers. He came on to this show. We want to treat our guests well. And a lot of you added him on a lot of mean tweets. I was very shocked. Because, I mean, if you have something negative to say, that's fine. And obviously, it's cool to disagree and, like, have a conversation about it. But then when you add someone, it's like, you sucked on this show.
Yeah, it's like, let me know, or let me say this to you.
Yeah.
Which, not a fan.
I guess there's integrity in it, though.
Don't bully our guests, though. They were nice enough to come on and hate the show. That we
yeah.
Have.
So
they took time out of their day to hate the thing we love.
This one, on the same note,
ooh.
of Dreamy Guests.
Is this all the same person?
No. This is from a mail account that I think was created just to send this email.
Nice.
So take that as you will for what I'm about to read.
I like to believe that they just didn't have an email address before this. Continue.
In all caps, it says, please make Trolley a regular. Make him a Gilmore guy. He is very handsome and a nice young man. P.S. I ship Dean and Jess together.
Oh, this email's from Anthony Trolley.
Okay. You son of a bitch, Anthony.
You idiot.
Okay.
Was it signed Tranthony Oli or something?
No. Oh. I mean, but that was my suspicion as well.
Hey, Anthony. Well, we love you coming back on the show. You know this.
He knows this. This one comes from S. Hayden, who I believe has written us before.
Ah, Shaden.
Shaden. Hey guys, I'm writing in again, like I said I would, and I have some random opinions and ideas I'd like to throw out there. Now, this is a topic you might have touched on, but I can't remember. At the end of episode 207, we see Rory in the cafeteria by herself, and a girl sits by her, and they casually eat together. It always bugged me. I'm pretty sure we never see this girl again. So what do we get out of that scene? I would say it just kind of reinforces like Rory's status as the loner and like validates it as a good choice.
I like to think that Rory got really mad that some girl sat next to her and she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. As soon as the camera fades out, she just threatens the girl.
Cetus Lupitus. Wait, that's Xenon. what am I doing?
She's like, how dare you? I'm drinking my fucking Hansen soda, and I'm sitting here with a banana and a hot slice of pizza, and you come here and you disrespect my table? Who the fuck do you think? Who do you?
Stab. And then as Hayden goes, I find it weird that in the early seasons of the show, Rory only seems to have Lane and occasionally Paris as a friend. We know Rory's funny, sweet, and smart. People like her, so why don't we ever see her with other friends hanging out? We have the same question,
I don't know. It makes no sense that she is, like, a loner. I guess the whole thing is that she focuses on her work so much that she doesn't even try to make friends.
Yeah. I mean, like, would you say she's not here to make friends?
Yes, she's there to win.
Yeah. Okay. In episode 208, we get to see more of a backstory with Lorelai and how she came to Stars Hollow. She had nowhere else to go and was determined to start a new life. The me and Emily confrontation was so good, by the way. Of course I know that. I cried. I want to know if you guys think Emily was right. Mia should have sent Lorelai back to her family and turned her away, or Mia was right to take in a young girl with a child. In Mia's defense, she let Lorelai earn her keep by being a maid and working her way up. I think Lorelai turned out better than most would in her situation. Thoughts on Lorelai and her backstory?
I think Mia was right. I was thinking about that the other day. If someone just showed up with the child and, like, I didn't really know their backstory, I would assume they ran away from, like, a dangerous household or something that's, like, they need to get away. And I'd just be like, okay, yeah, I'm here to help you any way that I can. I'm not going to be like, go back to your mommy.
Yeah, exactly. So I would agree. I think, I mean, what, Mia could have involved Emily a little bit more, so the first time they met wasn't that kind of icy confrontation that they had in 208?
Yeah, it's very confusing that that's the first time they met.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Lorelai's 32, so it's been 16 years.
It's been
16 years. But otherwise, no, Mia was right. She was coming out of a bad situation. The only thing I think she could have done is just, like, involve Emily somehow, but that would be too complicated, I think. Oh, one thing I want to point out right now, while we're thinking of it, episode 204, the road trip to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
One of our listeners was very
104?
Nice. 104? Did I say 104? I meant 204.
No. Okay, you were right. Sorry, 204.
Yeah, 204. Road trip to Harvard, and Lorelai sees the big wall of all the graduates, and then it zooms in on Erica Palmer.
Yep.
And who also is pictured on this wall in a cameo we missed when we first watched and recorded the episode?
Anthony Jeselnik.
Anthony freaking Jeselnik. Like, on Gilmore Girls. It has to be him, right? There's no one else it could be.
I ended up Googling it when... So, Kevin texted me this, and I was like, who is that? Is that Brooks Whelan? And I couldn't recognize him. And then he was like, it's Anthony Jeselnik. I was like, no fucking way. And I Googled it, and it's Anthony Jeselnik.
100%, right?
Yeah, which is so funny.
So, we need to have Anthony on this show.
We need to figure out what the deal is with that photo. Was it taken for the show? Was it a stock photo?
Oh, I wonder if it was a stock photo, and then they just bought the right for it.
That would be hilarious. But it's more likely that it was taken for the show.
They say they want me to be on Gilmore Girls.
Ooh, I cannot do a Jeselnik.
They want me to be on Gilmore. I can't either. We'll just have him on and have him do the bit himself.
Something, something, the Holocaust. Because he loves those jokes.
Oh, wow. Do you name this very podcast?
You know what? I understand. I understand what I just said.
Yep.
Okay, this comes from Kimberly. Guys, I love your show. I'm the same age as Kevin. And probably a lot of your listeners, and likewise have realized that growing up with Gilmore Girls informed a lot of my comedic taste and love of pop culture. Regarding Mrs. Kim, it's pretty undeniable that Mrs. Kim is a caricature, especially early in the series. Later, we get at least to see more dimension to how her traditional values clash against Lane's total embrace of American culture. I will say that as an Asian American myself, a lot of her character rang true for me with my own parents. She is definitely written over the top, but it's good to see Asians represented at all. I'm on the fence, is what she says.
Right.
Anyway, I thought you might be interested to know that there's one place in California you can buy Bluebell ice cream. Check out Whipped in West Hollywood. My roommate is Southern and almost cried when she discovered it. Keep up the great work. Kim, P.S., please bring back Beth Stelling and Eliza Skinner.
I would love to have both of them back on. They were both a delight.
Yes.
It's so strange to me that Bluebell is not a big thing. Like, I just didn't think about it. I guess I don't eat ice cream that much that I didn't,
right.
didn't register in my head.
You're very sheltered in Texas, I guess.
No, I mean, like, Bluebell, I just assumed, like, oh, it's probably everywhere. Like, and then when I got here, I don't eat ice cream enough to, like, notice that Bluebell is absent anywhere.
Right.
So, wow. It's like when I first learned that Whataburger is not outside of Texas.
What a burger. I remember
just like you like it.
3 years ago, some friends of mine and I, who are from the South, we were like weighing the odds, like, okay, what if we left right now, we could make it to 5 a.m. to the closest Whataburger in Arizona. Let's go. But then we didn't.
Oh, my God.
But that was a story that almost happened. This comes from Felina. F-A-L-I-N-A. Hey, Kevin and Demi. Just listened to episode 204 and it prompted me to write in. Just wanted to say I really enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the tangents and still get a chuckle out of the Deborah jokes. One thing I wanted
They're
to point out...
jokes, Raymond.
Oh, one thing I wanted to point out about Lane's apparent two-week trip to Korea that had Demi so up in arms.
Two-day
It
trip.
Was... No. It was
No,
more.
I mean, in real time. It was... For us, it was... 2 hours.
Sure. I mean, for us, it was. But she actually did go to Korea for the whole summer, but the time jump in this season wasn't as noticeable as it is in other seasons. As Kevin knows, Gilmore Girls likes to pick up its new seasons right where the previous one left off. Then a couple episodes later, they will have a two-month time jump, and it will suddenly be August or September there. So we got a lot of tweets about that. So Gilmore Goof alert.
I don't care how they do it. It was a stupid thing. I don't care what explanation they have.
All right, Demi standing by it.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Because
but...
they did not go 2 months later in the show or anything. They just went, well, Lane's back.
It was subtle as shit. Or maybe we're just dumb.
It's a combination of the both.
Yeah, it is. in this season, they actually referenced the time jump. Okay, blah, 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 blah. We get it. We get it, Felina. Just wanted to clear that up so Demi isn't frustrated by the continuity. Also, are
still
you
guys, frustrated.
Are you guys going to ATX? I've booked a weekend pass with a friend and would love to see you bros broing out on some Gilmore Girls in person.
We very much want to figure out something.
We want to. The problem is, did you look up how much passes are?
I didn't.
They're $250.
That cheap? Just kidding. That's very expensive.
Or it's like $225, something around that. So if we could do something... like where we get press passes, or if we could figure something out with TSTV, because I would assume TSTV has some sort of connection to the festival, right?
Probably.
If we could do that, then we'll definitely go. Because obviously, this is a once in a lifetime. It's Paladino with the Gilmore Girls again. Although
Luke.
Well, you know it's funny.
So I was just like, "What's a random cat?" Yeah, what?
The Gilmore Girls. Scott Patterson. Someone tweeted at him on his account. And added him that he said, they said, oh, are you going to be at the reunion? And he just tweeted back, no, I wasn't asked. Oh, shit.
Ooh,
some Gilmore
boy.
Girl drama.
Was it drama or was it an idiot? Just being like, oh, Luke. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
No, it was drama. It's something.
I bet it's drama.
It's something.
But you know what, Scott? We invite you onto this show.
Yeah.
So, by the way, guys, if you guys want to see Scott Patterson on the show, tweet at him. Like a bunch. Like, and not just one of you. Everyone tweeted him.
I need him to get annoyed and be like, I will do it just so you all leave me alone.
Fine, Taylor. Like, whenever he gets, like, he adopts this kind of different voice when he's, like, annoyed and he gets a little heightened. And all of you, blah, blah, blah. I don't have a good Luke impression yet. But get Scott Patterson, the actor, to that point in terms of his annoyance and his tolerance of fans on Twitter. And then he'll come on the show. And it'll be great.
Well, I want you guys to yell at everybody to come on our show.
Yes.
Make everyone hate us before they come on the show.
At Emily Carota. At Liza Weil. I think it's Liza.
Liz Torres.
Liz isn't on Twitter, I don't believe.
Someone find Liz Torres in real life and get her a Twitter.
Whoever has a connection to any of these people, please reach out to them.
Hello, Sailor.
Although several people have actually reached out to me and said that they have a friend who knows Melissa McCarthy. Or like another friend of mine said that she was close with her agent, and her agent's like really tight with her. So we'll see.
I feel like Melissa McCarthy is so busy now.
That's the hardest gig.
Yeah, exactly.
Between a TV show and being literally the most profitable comedy movie star.
Right.
By the way, Ghostbusters 3. That would be rad. Anyway. Okay, This is a weird one. This guy's been popping up on our Twitter a lot.
Has he?
This is from Vladimir Beckingham III.
Oh, yeah, he has.
Young lads or lasses, if that is what you prefer, I wish to write you to allow myself the opportunity to say how much I love your show. I'm a 72-year-old grandfather named Vladimir Beckingham III.
I don't know if you are.
My granddaughter introduced me to the intriguing but feminine show Gilmore Guys and Gilmore Girls. I treasure them both very much, though I wish you had grandfathers on more frequently. My pet parrot has taken to shouting the phrase, Rory, during times when a guest comes along to visit. I take this to mean he is a fan of Miss Patty, as well as your radio-styled program. Moments like this... blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, I have just one question for the two of you. I have a theory that Richard is a drug smuggler. This is why he has to travel so often. This is where all the money came from. This is why Lorelai was thrown out of the house when she was 16. She was pregnant while blowing through Richard's cocaine supply. This is where Gilmore Girls get their energy from. Massive amounts of cocaine. Richard and Emily were understandably upset. What do you think about this theory? My granddaughter says it is not possible, but she was not around the wealthy as I have been. I know that this is where the real problems lie.
Vladimir, this is a solid theory.
Yeah.
I think they would explore this more on the HBO version of the show we've been talking about.
Yeah, the reboot.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Insurance sounds pretty convenient, you know? And when he gets mad that insurance is going to take him out, I think he's running low on coke.
I think he's going to choke a homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, when his grandmother Trix comes into town, Trix, what kind of name is that?
Well, she's turning them for sure.
For sure.
But she's probably the mastermind behind it all, I would say.
She's the granddaddy of the white snow.
Oh my gosh.
She runs the ski lift, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
That's right. Okay. She's the mayor of Colorado, if you know what I mean.
We're talking cocaine.
We're talking cocaine.
We're talking cocaine.
Ski lodge.
Okay. I think we might end it on this one, because I'm so sick and tired of your bullshit, Demi. Just kidding.
Aww.
Dude.
Here know. I am just making jokes about cocaine. You go and drop a bomb on me like that.
You drop the bomb on me. Okay.
Baby.
This is Aisling.
Aisling.
Aisling. Hey, Gil guys. Hey. Gilly dudes. Hey. Nicknames.
Love them.
Anyhow, I missed the first 20 episodes of the podcast because I was ramping up for my... first year of art school finals.
Yay.
She's an artist. Humble brag. Then, no, it's just, we're just kidding. Then, in a spur of the moment decision, before I got on a cross country plane home, I downloaded every episode of the old cast and spent the next 20 hours marathoning them back to back.
Damn.
Which I tweeted about. Ugh, I'm sorry. Don't be sorry. It's all good.
Yeah, how dare you express a
positive
nice
sentiments.
Opinion. Yeah.
I was slightly delirious by the end of the jet from jet lag and lack of sleep, but I can tell you for sure that y'all made a 4+ hour layover in Salt Lake City 100% less ass eaty. That's what she says. So the reason I'm emailing you from my terminal at Reagan National is to ask you an ass heap of questions that really aren't questions, because I love hearing people discuss the show, and I'm using y'all's email as a sounding board for my ages-old Gilmore feels. Now, some of these I feel like we've gone over before, but I'll read one of them. Here's a trope that Gilmore Girls does fall into that seems kind of schmarmy to me looking back. She might mean smarmy, but that's okay. Throughout the series, we see unhappy rich city people, often in contrast to the hearty, happy-go-lucky, working-class focus small town Stars Hollow. Obviously, the moral of the story is money can't buy you love or joy. But to me, it feels like an upper-middle-class person thinking, oh, aren't those little worker bees so romantic? Aren't their lives so small and silly? And writing a show to that effect. What do you guys think of the discussions of class and its ramifications in Gilmore Girls? Do you think that the pre-housing crisis Bush Jr. economy of the early 2000s factors into the representation of wealth in the show? That's a great question.
This is a very good question. I think it's hard to say that this show is being written from the point of view of an upper-class person romanticizing the working class, because I feel like a lot of writers, although a lot who are successful end up in that upper class, rarely do they ever come from a place where it's like they start at the top and they are just trickling down with the support of their parents going like, yeah, you're going to write and we're going to stay rich forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it's the kind of position where you don't get a chance to, like, no one, there are so, you don't really get too many shows or movies that are like, it's the rich people who are the successful ones. I think it's just a general idea the entertainment industry loves to promote of, like, the working class are the happier ones sometimes. But I don't know. I don't think of this as a pre, like a Bush economics era show. Like, I don't think that this show has different dynamics in the way that the family life and working class are seen than, like, really anything. Although I guess Modern Family is very different. I go to Modern Family as a very...
As a touchstone.
Yeah, for current day, like, just everything, really. Even though I don't see the show...
For your news, for your opinions.
When I want to figure out what's happening in the world, I turn on...
One show, Modern Family.
Right.
Who's getting pushed in the pool.
I do that a lot. Even though I'm not like a huge Modern Family fan. I just think it's a very central show. Like, I would love to say something like Bob's Burgers, but it's very different. But
I don't know. The economics of this show are interesting. I wonder if it would be any different if it was made in the age of, like, Obama. Because this went off the air right before he became president. So it is a 100%. Like, the duration of the show, I never thought about this before, but the duration of the show was the beginning of the Bush administration, Bush 43, and the end of it. So, and before the housing crisis and all that jazz. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think, because the Palladinos they don't come from money. I mean, Amy Sherman Palladino's family, they're like in showbiz, but not rich showbiz.
Showbiz, baby.
But they weren't, it wasn't like rich showbiz, like showbiz. I mean, they're just like, they were working class showbiz people. So I don't know if it's like an upper middle class thing. I don't know. I'm not going to guess how much money Amy Sherman Palladino's parents had in their bank account.
$2 million.
Well, how much do you think?
$2 million.
Okay, so we'll say it's $2 million or $2 gillion, right?
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
I'll say, okay.
It's an interesting question. I feel like I'm not doing a good job answering it with my opinion.
The only thing that I'll say that would probably be different is if it were in the Obama administration is a little more romanticizing the fact that they are women in this small town who are like the center of and that's not me insulting that idea. I think it's just nowadays it's sort of there's a I feel like uprising is a strong word that makes it sound like I'm trashing it, but like, I guess there is a rising and uprising of realizing that like women and minorities and the disabled and misgendered people are treated very differently. And I think a show like Gilmore Girls would be celebrated for the fact that it's women and it wouldn't be like just kind of, oh yeah, they're women, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is interesting because I feel like it came out at an interesting time when Buffy the Vampire Slayer was on the WB at the same time Gilmore Girls was. And in a way, I wonder if this show would be harder to make now than it was before.
I think it would be easy to make. I just think it would be
more lauded.
Yeah,
lauded. Yeah.
I just think the type of shows that celebrate women and celebrate the people who don't necessarily have a strong voice in the Hollywood industry and in society in general have always existed, but they sort of get shuffled away as like, ugh, a woman show. Like, New Girl would never exist right now. Like, it wouldn't have existed in 2000, I'd say.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Even by the title alone, people would be like, are you fucking... I'm not watching a show called New Girl.
Wait, why do you say that exactly?
Because I think it's a very successful show across genders and across age gaps, even though it's a show that has a title that suggests it's a show for women who might be younger.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's been a lot of shows with girl in the title.
There have.
I'm talking New Girl, Golden Girls, Gilmore Girls, Girls.
The Big Four.
The Big Four. There must be one
there,
other.
There has to be. Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl.
XOXO.
And Modern Family Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Let's end with this one, because this is a nice
Bob's
little
Burger
story.
Girls.
Yeah, Bob's Burger Girls. The Colbert Report Girls. His last show is tonight, man.
Oh, my God.
We're recording
Don't
this on December
me.
The 18th. It's very sad.
Yeah. I can't even watch it.
I might cry if I watch it. I grew up on that. To me, he's the best of all the late night guys.
And if you're watching the show tonight, be sure to watch at midnight directly after the last episode.
You won't be able to hear this in time.
Yeah, that's fine. But isn't he, am I wrong? Isn't he the best late night guy?
Yeah, no, he is.
Like, because Fallon does music well, Conan does field pieces well, but he does all of them as well as everyone else does. Plus, he's like this gentleman and this like amazing mind.
Also, he's a character, and he's a very well written character, and he's solid. And
I'm gonna miss this character.
I am so gonna miss.
Even though in the last couple years, it's like he's gone in and out of it. Like it's so people are like, oh, he's a Republican, but it's not. He's not even playing it anymore.
No.
You know, like he puts it on when he needs to, but it's hardly. So much of his humanity shines through. I could host a podcast just about the Colbert Report, dude.
It's an incredible show. It really is.
Yeah. So, Colbert, we love you. Come on the show.
If you're not too busy, I don't know what you're going to be doing.
If you don't have anything going on.
Never mind. I was going to say, because we know that he's moving to CBS, and then where's Craig Ferguson going?
Craig Ferguson, I think, might start, I might be getting this wrong, but I think he might have his own talk show on cable now, or like WGN. I'm totally getting this wrong.
Whoa, that's going to be weird, but awesome. And then James Corden is taking over his show
with Reggie Watts. That's gonna be badass, dude. I'll watch it for Watts. I'm not familiar with Corden. He's probably good, but
I'm slightly familiar with Corden from he was on Doctor Who for a bit. He was funny, and he was on this Hulu series, The Wrong Mans, which is pretty good. I think he's a very funny guy. I think he's gonna nail it.
Yeah, well, Reggie Watts is gonna be.
Oh my god, Reggie Watts is gonna be incredible.
But can you imagine Colbert with Reggie Watts?
That's the alternate universe in which I succeed and have a great year. Where Reggie Watts and Colbert.
Did you not have a great year this year?
No, I had a good year.
Okay.
It's a pretty good year for me.
Let's take a look back on 2014 as we wind down. This is our last episode, 2014.
Oh, my God.
If I'm scheduling out correctly, we may not have an episode, or we might hustle to get it, because we're going to have to record some, like, the day before it comes out next time, if we want to keep our schedule.
Yeah.
Which we can do.
It'd be cumbersome for you particularly, just editing.
Right. For you, it'd be like any other week.
Right.
Shit. Sorry. What?
I don't know. That was the sound of us looking back at the year, even though we didn't.
I'll read this and then we'll do our reflections.
Yeah.
Angela writes, okay, so I'm halfway through episode 203, and y'all mentioned wondering if Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone, her husband, met on set of Gilmore Girls. After doing some extensive research, Melissa and Ben actually met in 1998 at Groundlings, an LA improv school. They began dating soon after and married in 2005. So they were together when Ben came on the show in 2003 and been dating for about 5 years. The dream of a Gilmore Girls set romance is crushed. But in interviews where they describe basically their meet cute, it's absolutely precious. Also, I can't get over the serendipity of some of the episode-specific themes that your guests are getting. What's funny about Tara's situation is that I think Gilmore Girls usually does the young mother trope relatively well, showing that can be unhealthy, showing Lorelai as being able to transition into the mom when need be, and especially as the show goes on, showing the stress Rory kind of puts on herself due to the situation. In this episode, though, we can obviously see where Tara is coming from. That was such a rad way, like how serendipitous it was with 203 was absolutely ridiculous from a mothering standpoint for Lorelai.
It very much was.
But yeah, that's cool about Melissa and Ben. We wish them well. How many kids do they have? They must have like two.
Do they have any kids?
Well, yeah, because she was pregnant while she was on the show.
Oh.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Or no.
Darn it.
Because they might have hit it.
Look at this large cake I'm baking. I'm going to hold it in front of my stomach.
I know. It's so fun. On Scandal season 3.
Oh, my God.
When Kerry Washington was pregnant, she was just behind lamps all season.
That's the only thing I'll give credit to How I Met Your Mother for. When Allison Hannigan was pregnant on the show, they made a big joke of her carrying large items in front of her.
Oh, that's really funny.
They'll just be like, I got this frame, this photo framed.
Oh, the one thing How I Met Your Mother did right. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. They did other things right.
I mean, that's exactly what I was saying. That's the only thing I'll give them credit for. I think.
Oh, okay.
I think they made some mistakes in that show, but
legendary.
God, I hate.
Sorry.
The thing that I hate the most is that Barney Stinson's a caricature of like the bro-y, like. We're going to be single forever. And the people who like him are the people that he makes, like, as a character, is supposed to make
fun of. Interesting. Barney lovers tweeted us. Is
Barney lovers. Fuck you.
I'm a Bonnie lover. You're a Bonnie lover. We should fuck
each other's lovers. Bonnie each other's moms.
2014, guys.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red Rocket, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio.
Lady Gaga, Elton John, something, something, Cinnabon, doopit, doopit, Scooby-Doo. What else can I do? We didn't start
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I have been meaning to write a version of that song where it's just like, Amy Adams, Carrot Top. Benedict Cumberbatch in one movie, and I would call it like We Didn't Start the Fire Crotch, and it's all redheaded. Redheaded people.
Emma Stone, Emma Stone, Emma Stone again.
Oh my
Who else
gosh.
Is redheaded in Hollywood?
Oh, Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain and that girl plays her in Interstellar. Spoiler.
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany and.
I have to think this one through.
Jesse Eisenberg in that one movie.
Yes. Okay, 2014 was a beautiful year for us, guys.
Was it?
Thanks for tuning to, kinda. I don't know. For me, 2014 was probably one of the hardest years of my life. My life.
My life.
But you know what was one of the best parts about it, sincerely?
Starting this podcast. I agree. It was one of the highlights of my year,
yeah,
too.
At 100%.
Here's to one more year.
Yay. Well, we'll see, depending.
5 seasons.
Depending if we slow our roll at all. Imagine if we started doing one a week.
Oh, my God. If we're both like, I don't know what could come into our lives that we are both super busy for this, but like, if something happens and it's like, we have to do one a week, I'm going to cry. Not that I don't love this, but I cannot imagine doing this for 2 years.
Well.
I can't imagine me being 24 and being like, I was 22 when we started this podcast.
Hey, I was 25 when we started this podcast. No, that's not true. I was 24.
Kevin, since we started, I imagine being like, since we started this podcast, I am no longer eligible under my parents' insurance.
Wow.
Right?
Cray. Well, that day will come. Thanks a lot, Barack.
Change is going to come.
Change is going to come. But yeah, this was a beautiful part of 2014. So thank you to everyone who wrote in. We didn't get to half of them that we wanted to, but we're going to cut it short just because we're short on time and short on energy.
Yeah.
And I'm short on health.
On the coincidence that you've played this at the right time, you should be about 10 seconds from the new year right now. So let's just count that down for with you.
Okay.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year, maybe.
Yay.
Possibly.
We all did it, kind of. It's possible. So yeah. We're going to see you in 2015, Gillies. Yeah. Thank you for all the tweets.
Have a great New Year.
Emails, keep them coming.
Yeah, keep listening to us. You can check us out on Facebook, on Twitter at Gilmore Guys Show. Email us at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can email Kevin at Kevin.
Oh, whoa. Electro Lemon. Follow him on Instagram and tweeters.
Kevin T. Porter. Follow him on Instagram. Look at us plugging each other.
Oh, ew.
Yeah.
Dude, we're plugging each other.
Hey, 2015, anything can happen.
Hey, plug me. Bye.
Bye.
La 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 la.